This is Rabbi Nathanael Brun, Congregation Brothers of Israel, Long Branch, New Jersey, recording for Thursday, February 9th, 2017. We will learn the third to fifth Mishnayos, the second chapter of Mishnah Sanhedrin. Mishnah Gimel, right, Mishnah 3, continues our conversation of the king. Mace lo mace, right, the king has a relative who dies, in a yotze mipetach paltarin shelo. Can't not leave the opening of his palace. He can't walk out of the palace. He's got to stay home. Rabbi Huda Omer imrotze latzeis achar hamita yotze. No, Rabbi Huda says, no, if he wants to go out, he can go out. Right? He deserves an opportunity to mourn. And here we have the same with the Kohen Gadol. You know, what's appropriate for somebody who is really a singular leader of the people. But Rabbi Huda says, right, he has proof for his position. That David, when he was the king, went out after the bed of Avner, but the bed is like the stretcher they carry you on when you're dead. Shenemar, it says in Shmuel Beis, V'amelach David alech achar hamita, that the King David was going after the bed. Right? Now, it wasn't actually a relative, but Kadi says he was a chacham, he was a wise person like a relative. But you do see that David would go out after the the coffin, although they didn't have coffins, but the funeral stretcher, if you will. So Amru Lo, they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, you misunderstood. Lo haya hadaver elo lafayes et ha'am. That David went out to show people, to appease the people, right, to show them that this wasn't done at his behest, Abner's killing. Rather, he was sad about it, but it wasn't because he was going to mourn. He simply had a kingly duty to perform in walking after the stretcher. Ukshemavrino, so going back to the king who is being comforted, when they bring him the meal, the Sudas Havra is the meal after the funeral. Kola Amis, Subin Ala Aretz, Vuhu Mesav Al Hadargesh. Just like the Kohen Gadol, everyone's on the floor and he's higher up, so to the king, everyone sits on the floor and he sits on the couch. Mishnah Dalet, continuing the laws of the king. Umotzi lemelchemes reshus al pi beizdin shivin ve'echad. We saw this before, that the 71, it takes the beizdin, the Sanhedrin of 71, to go out to a voluntary war to expand the boundaries, land of Israel. Uporetz la'asos lo derech. He can, right, break through, literally, porage is like the breakthrough offense. He can, right, eminent domain people's property. To use the modern terminology, but nobody can stop him. Right? There's no lawsuits to stop eminent domain when we're talking about the king of Israel. Derech Hamelech Ein Lo Shi'ur. Right? This we saw also in a previous Mishnah. Right? The way of the king, there's unlimited. As much as the king needs for all the armies and forever to walk through, there's not 16 amos or this amos or cubits. It's unlimited. When the people go to war and they take their spoils and their booty, they bring it back and they put it before the king. And he takes first what he wants. The king should not have too many wives, only 18. Right, you can insert whatever joke you want there, or pretend there are no jokes to be made. The king can only have 18 wives. Rabbi Huda Omer Marbe Hulo. Rabbi Huda says, no, you can have more. Ubilvad Shilo Yehu Mesiros Es Liba. But they can't turn his heart away from God. All right? That's an interesting argument, whether when the Torah says specifically you can't have too much of X, Y, and Z because it might turn your heart away. Do we say, and therefore the limit is set, right? Finish, you have to have a set limit, or no, it's dependent upon whether they are going to turn your head away or not. Is it objective or subjective? The first opinion is objective, 18. Second is subjective. It really depends on the nature of that wife and whether she'll turn you away from God. Rabbi Shimon says back to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilo achasu mesira es libo, harei ze lo yisaena. I mean, Rabbi Shimon says no. Even one is going to turn your heart away. You certainly can't marry that person. That would be us, or that would be terrible. Im kein lama ne'amar lo yarbe lo nashim. In which case, why does it say don't have too many? If the point is that you can't even have one that's going to turn your heart away, so obviously more is no good. So no, the Mishnah says, afilu ka Abigail, even if they're as good as Abigail, you can't have more than a specific number, and that is set here at 18. Right? Shimon says that the number has to be objective, because subjectively, it's not a question of numbers, it's even one. And therefore, when the Torah says you can't have too many, it must be an objective number. Also, lo yarab lo susim, the Torah says you can't have too many horses. Ela kadei merkavto, right? Just enough for the army, for the chariots for the army. But you can't have just to make yourself look rich and fantastic and wonderful. So too, v'chasev is a har lo yarab lo me'od. You can't have too much gold or silver. Ela kadei liten aspanya. Enough to give to the aspanya. Different versions of that word. And Kahati says it's a Greek word, which means for the army. There, too, you can't just have, like, you know, you have those images of your head of the kings and the chests of gold, to have chests of gold. Right? That lends towards arrogance, and arrogance would be a terrible thing in a leader in an ideal world. Right? Therefore, you can only have enough gold and silver to feed the army. The Chosev lo Sefer Torah lishmo. The king has to have a special Sefer Torah. Each person is commanded to write a Sefer Torah. The king has to have a special Sefer Torah. Yotze lemilchama motzia imo. The king goes out to war. You take the Sefer Torah with him. God comes with you to war. You got to go, but you bring God with you. Nichnas machniso imo. Comes back from war. He brings the Torah with him. Yoshev bidin hi imo. You sit. The king sits in judgment. That's a king from the house of David. Which is the exception to what we saw in the last Mishnayos, that a king does not judge. But that when the king judges, Sefer Torah is there. Mesav hi kenegdo. The king sits, right? For whatever reason, it's kahati here, the English says for a meal, but the king sits. The Torah is right next to him. Shenemar v'haisa imo b'karabo kol yemei chayav. Right, the Torah says that that Torah has to be with him at all times. Right, and that also is a it's probably for two things. One is it's a protective against arrogance, because the king is not the king. The king is the human king. But there is a divine king. And in front of the divine king, we all stand equally. It's also a reminder that the king is bound by the laws of the Torah. Right, a certain sense of humility also. And the direction the king should push should obviously be one of Torah and mitzvot. Mishnah Hey, last Mishnah for today. All that being said, we still have to have respect for the king. Right? We're concerned that the king remain humble and not too arrogant, but we have to have the proper respect for the king as well. And therefore, Mishnah Hey, Ein rochvin al suso, you do not ride on the king's horse. Ein yoshvin al kiso, you do not sit on his chair, the throne. Ein mishtamshin bisharvito, you don't use the scepter. Right? Those are for the king, not for anybody else. Ein roin osokshu hu mistaper velokshu arum. Right, when he's getting his hair cut, I'm not sure that's a funny one, but maybe it was different in those days. You can't look at the king getting a haircut. You can't look at the king when he's naked. V'lo beveis hamerchah, it's not in the bathhouse. Shenemar som tasim alech hamelech. Surely you shall place upon yourself a king. Right, that's the pasuk. And then the Mishnah learns, shetehei emaso alecha. What does it mean, place upon you? That the fear of the king, the respect, the awe of the king should be upon you. That concludes our learning for today. Please come back. Join me tomorrow.